Think about the last time you bombed an interview, froze during a presentation, or went completely blank when someone asked what you do. Your palms sweat, your voice cracks, your mind races through every possible way you're failing in real time. Now here's the twist. What if the solution wasn't in your head at all, but in how you were standing? After a car accident dropped her IQ by 30 points and derailed her academic dreams, a young researcher discovered something revolutionary. Our bodies don't just carry our emotions, they create them. This insight, backed by rigorous science and watched by over 50 million people, reveals that personal power isn't about changing who you are, it's about changing how you hold yourself long enough to remember who you've always been. Presence is maddeningly difficult to define, yet instantly recognizable. Picture someone who walks into a room and somehow shifts the energy without saying a word. It's not their resume or credentials, it's something else entirely. When entrepreneurs pitch ideas with genuine enthusiasm, they don't just communicate information, they signal drive, persistence, and creativity. This quality becomes contagious, stimulating commitment in everyone around them. The beautiful paradox? Presence isn't some mystical state requiring years of meditation. It's far more accessible. Being attuned to and comfortably expressing your true thoughts, feelings, and values in the moment. When we're inauthentic, our verbal and nonverbal behaviors misalign like a badly dubbed film. There's no Pinocchio nose for lying. Instead, deception manifests as asynchrony. Facial expressions don't match words, postures conflict with vocal tone. Lying is cognitively exhausting. We juggle multiple narratives while managing fear and guilt, causing leakage through nonverbal cues. Remarkably, people with aphasia, who can't process language, detect lies better than others, suggesting our focus on words undermines deception detection. Authenticity isn't about revealing a singular static self. We're multifaceted, with thoughts and feelings that shift across situations. The authentic self is a transitory experience, the subjective sense of alignment with our real self, recognized because it feels right when we express our values honestly. Our authentic best self incorporates even the parts we wish to change, physical limitations, psychological challenges, personal struggles. These obstacles shape us uniquely and become strengths when embraced rather than hidden. When we feel personally powerful, we stay connected to our sincere selves even under pressure, creating compelling resonance because it's real. When Reverend Jeffrey Brown tackled Boston's gang violence in 1992, community meetings failed because they excluded the young people themselves. The breakthrough came when ministers walked tough neighborhoods at night with genuine curiosity. Research shows we judge trustworthiness first when meeting someone. It matters most for influence. Jeffrey's real breakthrough came when he dropped his polished facade with Tyler, a young man mocking his silk jacket. When Jeffrey snapped back authentically, Tyler responded, "Yeah, now you're being real." This genuine connection opened real conversation. William Ury calls listening the most profound act of human respect. Meeting Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez during potential civil war, Ury abandoned prepared recommendations and simply listened. True listening requires suspending judgment, creating safety for honesty, and overcoming fear of silence. When we truly listen, people trust us, we gain useful information, we see individuals rather than stereotypes, and people become willing to listen in return. When we truly listen, people trust us, we gain useful information, we see individuals rather than stereotypes, and people become willing to listen in return. Imposter syndrome, that paralyzing belief you haven't earned your success, prevents presence by making us discordant and unconvincing. When we feel like frauds, we overthink and fixate on others' judgments. Psychologist Pauline Rose Clance discovered this phenomenon while battling her own fears, despite stellar achievements. At Oberlin, she found many high achievers shared these fears, believing success was luck rather than ability. Though initially thought to affect primarily women, men experience it equally, they just discuss it less. Success often intensifies imposter feelings, creating cruel irony where accomplishments make us feel more fraudulent. Imposterism creates a vicious cycle. We constantly monitor others' perceptions, diminishing our cognitive resources and undermining performance. Most of us feel like imposters, yet believe we're alone in this experience. Even learning others share our fears doesn't help. We dismiss their concerns while maintaining our own are legitimate. This isolation activates the same brain areas as physical pain. Before New Zealand rugby matches, the All Blacks perform a traditional Maori haka, a powerful dance with widened eyes, bulging chests, stomping feet, and loud chants ending with protruding tongues. This isn't just theater. Power physically enlarges our bodies. Across the animal kingdom, dominance is expressed through expansive postures, widespread limbs, erect stance, maximum space occupation. When powerful, we instinctively expand, shoulders back, chin lifted, chest puffed. Powerlessness does the opposite, physically shrinking us. Here's the fascinating part. William James proposed that bodily experiences cause emotions rather than the reverse. I don't sing because I'm happy. I'm happy because I sing. Experiments prove this. People holding pens in their mouths to engage smiling muscles found cartoons funnier than those whose smile muscles were inhibited. Botox injections, which paralyze forehead muscles, reduce depression by blocking facial feedback loops. Our bodies don't just carry us where we want to go, they help carry us to who we want to be. After my car accident, I adopted a protective passenger posture, knees to chest, arms wrapped tight, chin tucked, physically manifesting powerlessness. Years later, I noticed similar patterns in quiet Harvard Business School students who hunched over books and raised hands apologetically, while confident students moved freely and sat upright. We designed experiments testing whether expansive postures could make people feel more powerful. Subjects holding high power poses for just minutes were significantly more likely to take risks and reported feeling more powerful. We measured hormonal changes. High power posers showed 19% higher testosterone and 25% lower cortisol. Low power posers showed the opposite. The robust finding? Expansive postures make us feel more powerful, confident, assertive, and optimistic while reducing stress and anxiety. In mock job interviews, candidates who prepared with high power poses performed significantly better and were more likely to be hired, not because their speech content improved, but because their nonverbal presence, confidence, enthusiasm, captivation, dramatically improved. Expansive postures activate our behavioral approach system, grounding us and helping us stay engaged. We've overlooked our most accessible performance tool, our own bodies. Combat veterans overcome PTSD, inmates regain dignity, homeless individuals combat shame. Will, a 21-year-old actor, struck a Wonder Woman pose for 2 minutes before his audition. He entered without a care in the world and landed the part in Oscar-nominated film Wild. This is presence, executing with comfortable confidence, leaving satisfied regardless of outcomes. The message isn't fake it till you make it, it's fake it till you become it. Nudge yourself toward your best self. It's not about fooling others, but accessing who you already are. Your body isn't a vessel carrying your anxious mind. It's the instrument through which you access your boldest, most authentic self. Stand tall, take up space, breathe deeply. The person you're trying to become is already inside you, waiting for your body to remember.